Welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
And before we move into the sermon today, I just want to prophetically declare over anyone who might have mistakes in their past, relationships, maybe there was some moments in your life where you weren't on the right track and you made some poor choices. We serve a God of multiple chances. We serve a God who will turn your mistakes into miracles. And I want to let you know, this series is not to shame you. These sermons are not to shame you for your past, but instead to set you up for your future. How many of you know this kind of sermon series is a from this day forward sermon series? So whatever has happened in your past, I prophetically declare shame off of you in Jesus' name. You are no longer bound to your past decisions or your past mistakes, maybe even your upbringing. It might not have even been your fault. I just want to let you know who the Son sets free is free indeed. And receive that freedom today so that God can speak not to your past, but He can speak to your potential, because we serve a future-facing God who has great plans for you and a great hope for you and a great future for you. So as we dive into today's sermon, I want you to take your cue from this day forward and don't allow the devil. Let me look in right here in this camera, get a little bit closer. Don't allow the devil to convince you that this word isn't for you because you've messed up too much. Or this word isn't for you because you're currently in a season of loneliness or singleness, or you've been married two times or three times. I refuse to allow the enemy to win the battle that's playing out in your mind right now. And I declare freedom from any anxious thoughts in Jesus' name. And I say, whether you're a single mom or you've been faithfully married for 100 years, that the Lord would use His word to break yokes in Jesus' name. For it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, and we serve a God of grace that gives second chances and third chances, and we come boldly before Him today. I feel that in my spirit today. We're going to be learning from the original couple, the OG, the Olive Garden of couples, okay? Adam and Eve, they were the first. There was no sin in the garden. There was choice. There was agency in the garden, but there wasn't sin in the garden. They chose to initiate their relationship with sin. And we're going to learn what relationships were like without sin. How many of you would you like a sinless relationship? I'd be like, I want that. I'm the primary contributor to the sin in a lot of my relationships, because I'm a human being after the fall of man. So we got to look at Adam and we have to say, well, Adam knew what it was like to be in communion with God before sin entered the world. Him and Eve knew what it was like to be together before sin entered the world. So we need to look at Adam and Eve's experience. And they did not choose wisely. I don't know if they knew the full implications of their consequences. I'll have a conversation with them when I die. Were you thinking? All those trees? And you had to choose the one. All those trees. All that proximity to God, the presence of God, naked and unashamed. And you had to choose the one tree. I hate clothes. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. It's at the beginning of your Bible. It's in the Old Testament. That would be on the left-hand side if you're new to the scriptures. At the very beginning, it's the very first book. So you'll see probably like a little thing where people can write their name in your Bible and then a little table of contents. And it's going to be like right there. Like in my Bible, it's like one of the first pages, you know, Genesis chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, our prayer team would love to pray with you and get you a new Bible if you don't have one. We believe in the Bible here at this church. We're going to be all over it today, and to God be the glory. My opinion matters very little, but the Bible matters a lot. And so Genesis 2, we're going to read verses 15 and 18, and then we're going to go through the whole narrative together. The Lord God took the man. Notice He doesn't use his name here. And put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To work it and to take care of it. Just a side note, I'm not going to harp on it very long, but your job is not the result of sin. Hard work is not the result of the fall of man. I just don't want to work. Adam worked in paradise. Adam worked where there was very little sin. There was only choice. So don't tell me you can't work. Adam worked and he lived in paradise. All right, I talked about that a lot last week. And I looked back at my face. I was like, come on, man. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Hallelujah. I will make a helper suitable for him. It is not good for the man to be alone. Notice he doesn't use his name. I will make a helper suitable for him. Father, we love your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. There are so many opinions in this world, but we look to the truth of your word to reveal to us how to live in righteousness and holiness, how to do things your way. Because when we do things your way, in your order, things tend to work out. So we love you. We surrender to it. We submit to it. Thank you for your presence that's so evident here at all of our locations today through the worship and the word. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. From now until groups signing day, I'm going to be talking about relationships every Sunday. I think next week will probably be rated R. And so if you want to go ahead and make plans to check in your kids at whatever location you're at, that next week will probably be rated R material, not in the sense of like, scandalous, but very clear and practical. Come on, somebody. People are like, I haven't been to church in 6 months, but I'm going next Sunday. I've been watching online since the pandemic, but I'm going to be there next Sunday. Here's what I know about pain. There's financial pain in life. There's emotional pain in life. There's pain in this world. There's a lot of pain present. But a lot of times what I've discovered is that there's no pain quite like relationship pain. You know, you had your expectations set high in fairy tale fashion that he was going to come riding on a horse and slay the dragon in the castle. You know, he was going to be everything that you wanted him to be. And she was going to be your princess, your queen. And she was going to do everything that you thought that a wife would do. And then expectations get shattered and pain enters into the equation. And I found that a lot of times there's immense pain even in marriage, even in relationships, because we forget to clarify expectations. Maybe there's pressure that your parents put on you. You know, if you're single today, they're like, when are you going to get married? You ever been there before Thanksgiving? You're like, avoid the table. I'm sitting at the kids' table. I don't want to hear it. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? The pressure that they put on you. When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? Then you get married. And at the reception, right after the ceremony, when are you going to have kids? 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 You have a kid, and then what do they say? When are you going to have another one? 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 And this pressure gets put on you to start believing some of the cultural norms on how to do relationships. When how many of you know we weren't called to be of the world? We're just in the world. And there's a myth that has been propagated in culture that says you have to go find the one. You know this myth? The myth of finding the one. You're like, okay, I'm going to go shop at Whole Foods. I'm going to go find the one. Because rich people shop at Whole Foods. Come on, somebody. I ain't marrying no Food Lion dude. Come on now. I ain't marrying no manager special yellow sticker guy. I'm going to Whole Foods until I find the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get a job at, I'm going to get a membership at Lifetime Fitness. I'm not getting no Planet Fitness guy. I want a Lifetime Fitness man. I'm going to go find the one. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? You'll drive to Chapel Hill. You're like, there are more PhDs per capita in Chapel Hill. I'm going to go find my, I ain't going, no, I'm not going to say a town. I'm not going anywhere around here that's not Chapel Hill. You'd be mad. We have this myth, this pressure to go find the one. We obsess with finding the one. I pray with people at the altar, Pastor, I'm just trying to find the one. I'm just trying to find the one. And I want to tell you today, instead of finding the one, we got to move to becoming the one. Yes. Yes. Let me say that one more time. Instead of finding the one, we have to move to becoming the one. That's good. Woo! What a shift in perspective, because now you can't blame the lack of inventory on the outside. You have to start to look at the lack of discipline on the inside.
So good.
So you're like, well, there's just not enough fish in the pond. I would say start becoming a better fish.
Come on.
Maybe you'll move ponds.
Come on.
People look to me as the pastor to set them up. Like I'm eHarmony in 3D. Like this is Christian Mingle in the flesh. My grandfather met his new wife on Christian Mingle. This is not a joke. 87 years old.
Yeah.
Met his new wife on Christian Mingle. Come on, somebody. The internet is good for something. Finding me a lady who asked me to call her grandmother the first time I met her. I'm like, I don't know you. She said, you better call me grandmother. I said, you better put me in your will. It goes both ways. It's a two-way street, grandma. Now let's go see the attorney to plan our end of life. She got a swimming pool in her house in Arkansas. I never been to Arkansas before, but I might own property there soon. Pretty funny. We might have to cut that out, but that was pretty funny. Stick to your notes, Pastor Mike, so you can stay in the will. See, our tendency is to obsess on finding the one, and we neglect becoming the one. We obsess over looking and looking and looking instead of looking inwardly to become the one. Now, we can see that God's original intent from the very beginning with the first man, Adam, we see this life before the fall. Adam is created. He's put in the garden. He is given a wife. Her name is Eve. They eat the fruit. They sin enters the world. And then the world gets all messed up until Jesus comes to redeem all that was lost. But what I found in my journey through the scriptures starting in Genesis this year is that Adam was the one before he found the one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like Adam was single and secure before he was ever given his wife Eve. So I want to help you today with four ways to become the one. I'm about to help some people in here today. In Genesis 2, 15 and 18, we already read it. Let's just read verse 18 together. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And he had put him in the garden to work and to take care of it. Number one, first observation. Before I find my person, I need to find my purpose. I need to discover who I am before I go looking for whoever it is God has for me. I need to know who I am before I go out to try to discover who God has for me. Here's what I know. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You were created on purpose for a purpose. You weren't meant to coast. You weren't meant just to settle. You weren't just meant to stay where you are. You were meant to discover your purpose and see it fully fulfilled and never settle for anything less. A lot of times when you go after looking for someone, that person ends up hijacking your purpose. And when they hijack your purpose and you say yes to the dress and you get married and you have children, decades later, you have this spirit of resentment because you met that person while you were discovering your purpose instead of after you discovered your purpose. Then everything becomes their fault because you surrendered to their dreams instead of having known who you were in Christ. You know, and I used to have big dreams myself. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a big dreamer. I buy domain names for businesses that I don't even start. Like I own a domain name for a window washing company. I don't even own a window washing company. One day I was like, you know what? One day maybe Joel will want to start a window washing company with me. And so I bought the domain name wakeforestwindowwashing.com. You know, I just go door to door and wash the windows. I own churchwithmom.com for Mother's Day. You've seen the domain name if you're attended here for many years. I always have these ideas, and I think for them in terms of domain names. And so I always think about big dreams, big purposes, big things. And I used to have the dream of being a rock star. I have photograph proof that I brought with me today that I had dreams and desires to be a rock star. This wasn't no game. I was in it, man. We were going to break through. We were going to see the industry totally transformed. I don't know why my friend doesn't have a shirt on. That was during rehearsal. That's weird. I was practicing in our mom's basement. This band was called the Eighth Hour Romance. This band was called Bethany's Shadow, and that band at the top was called Saturday Happens. I was trying my best to discover my purpose, all right? I was wandering in the wilderness, man. I thought, man, these jeans are skinny, and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I enjoy music. I enjoyed playing. But we weren't playing on K-Love. We were, people say, are you a Christian band? We would be like, no, we are Christians in a band. We sing about our girlfriends. That's what we do. It's interesting because I remember that I was just trying to discover my purpose. And I looked one time and Ashton walked into the venue where we were playing and we had set everything up. And she came in with the stroller. We were already married. She came in with the stroller with Ariana. And I looked at myself and I said, the pizza that they are paying us with tonight is not going to cut it. I've been looking all, I have to actually fulfill God's purpose for my life. And maybe it would have been music for a season. Maybe for you, it is music for a season. But what I want you to know is I had to reset my expectations. When I had made a decision to get married and to have a child, I couldn't just do what I used to do as a kid. I couldn't just play, you know, we would play in venues for the other bands because nobody showed up. And they're like, all right, well, you guys stand there and we'll play for you and then we'll switch. Nobody showed up. The ultimate expectation, the only expectation should be to serve God. Yeah. That's why we exist. And I remember having this come to Jesus moment at the venue. She has a stroller and I looked at her and I said, we're going to have to serve God. Not that I wasn't serving God, but I was pursuing my own dreams. I wasn't pursuing God's will for our life. Some of you, God's using this sermon today as a wake-up call to start serving God. To understand that my ultimate purpose is to glorify God. That's why I exist. So now that I'm married, I understand I exist to glorify God with Ashton together. Have we been broke? Absolutely. Have we been homeless? Very close. Have our phone bills been shut off? Have our phone been shut off because of lack of payment? Yes, they have. But no matter what, we exist to glorify God. So I stopped obsessing about my little dreams and I started looking at discovering my purpose. And so you have to stop trying to discover your person and start discovering your purpose. All right, number two. This is what it says in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. All right, number two is this. According to Adam, before I make a covenant, I need to make wise choices.
All right.
I just want to help some people make some wise choices today. I hope that you understand that Adam had to make wise choices. God put trees in the garden, and Adam had to decide which one he was going to eat from and which one he wasn't going to eat from. And how many of you know we are the sum total of our choices? Okay? If I chose to eat kale only for 6 months, I wouldn't look like this. Because you are what you eat. I'm the sum total of every Chick-fil-A cookie I chose to eat. And some of you go into making poor choices and then you try to go make a long covenant, but you're not good at making wise choices before you step into a long covenant, lifelong covenant, to be honest. And so what frustrates me at times is I look at people and they're trying to pick a lifelong spouse, but they can't even pick out an outfit that matches. You know, they're trying to find a date, but they're still choosing to play Call of Duty instead of clean up their room. I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to help you make wise choices. So like before you try to get married, why don't you just try to show up on time to meetings? You know, it's like there's some like integrity management issues. See, it says in Luke 16:10 in the New Testament, whoever can be trusted with very little can all, whoever, who, who. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. I just want God to send me a lifelong partner. We'll just start making some of the small decisions now so that you can become the person that God has called you to be later. See, integrity doesn't show up in the big things. Integrity shows up in the small things. And there are some small things that integrity shows up in. I just wrote these down as an example. This isn't an exhaustive list. But if you are looking to say, well, what do I need to steward right now in my life? Well, the first thing is spiritual disciplines. Reading your Bible, praying, fasting, making sure that you're in communion with God, making sure that you're a man or woman after God's own heart. You don't just instantaneously become spiritual when God sends you someone. You've been being built up in the Spirit. Like, I've been going to church. Church won't be an option if I find somebody, because it's where we go. It's what we do. It's who I do read God's word every single day. I do pray out loud. I do pray in the Spirit. I do pray without ceasing. Spiritual disciplines. You can do those with or without a spouse. How awesome is that? But when you get a spouse, you'll have practiced them enough to where it's normal and natural. Time management. Time management. If you're late now, you're probably going to be late later. So steward time management. You know, teach yourself to discipline yourself. I'm going to set an alarm. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The next thing is financial management. What's your credit score like? My credit score wasn't good, but she didn't ask. I remember when we moved here just 11 years ago. The only reason we moved here was because we found a landlord that wouldn't do a credit check. We're like, it must be God. This lady's letting us move into her house without even checking our credit score. Financial management. Are you tithing? Are you paying your bills on time? Do you have a car payment that's completely ridiculous just to show off? But at the end, if I were to audit your finances, you don't have good management, join Financial Peace University coming up when groups launch. You need to join it because it's helpful. It gets you. I'll tell you right now, when we got our money right as a family, the blessing of God followed our life so much. It's unbelievable. I wish I could tell you the details, but you just have to trust me. When you learn to do money God's way, everything changes. Emotional intelligence. Come on, somebody. Gentlemen, if she doesn't look comfortable, then leave the coffee shop. Say, I feel like you're probably not. Like, just, if it's not going good, just acknowledge it. Read the room, dude. I can tell. I've learned to read a room. When I go to preach at other churches, they don't respond like you respond. I tell them, I'm like, man, y'all better say amen. I'm leaving right now. You need to have emotional intelligence. Understand, ladies, on the day that he gets fired, maybe you take a step back and don't tell him about your day for 45 minutes. And then Susie got the Stanley from the fridge. I told her, that's my Stanley. Stanley cup, you know what I'm talking about? They got white people in the chokehold right now. You know those cups? You know what I'm talking? It's like military grade steel. They're loading those in the war. They're shooting those things out. Let him talk. Emotional intelligence. Learn to read the room. Learn to know. Okay, she's mad at me right now. Probably shouldn't approach the... You know, if I could go play golf right now, probably not. Emotional intelligence. It's at an all-time low because kids are glued to screens. So you got to learn to, like, look up. You know, look up. Look up. All right, and then self-leadership, which is basically all of this put into one. Like, lead yourself well. You won't be able to lead your family if you can't lead yourself. I can't lead this church unless I lead myself. You got to have time to think and time to read and time to listen and time to reflect. You need margin to think. I have one chair on my front porch. I sit in it all the time because I'm trying to build in margin to think. I'm trying to lead myself well so I don't come up here frantic and crazy. See, marriage is not a magnifier. Marriage is a magnifier, not a solution. Marriage is like the lottery. It simply exposes how you've been handling money all along. So you won the lottery when you got married to her. Yes, you did. And it doesn't solve the problems. It magnifies them. So when you work on things before you're married, when the magnifier gets put on, then it's like, well, I'm better because of her. Yeah. But how many of you know the helper adds the in the relationship? So if you were strong before you get married, you become stronger. If you were rich before you got married, you become richer. If you were lazy before marriage, I'll let you fill in that blank. If you were broke before you get married, marriage brings your So you got to make wise choices now. Let's move forward to verse 19. I love this. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. So he's working, okay? He's working. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. What kind of authority has God given you to name things in your life? If you want to go back to the original intent, design for the creation of God, it's your authority to name things that God puts in front of you. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But Adam uses his first time he uses his name right here. But Adam, for Adam, so when he gives names to the animals, Adam gets his name. So God gives Adam his name. Now Adam gets to name all the other things.
There you go.
No suitable helper was found for him. Now, you know what happened in this, right? Adam was naming all the animals. He's like, all right, God, what do you think about giraffe? Giraffe sounds good to me, Adam. Sounds good. Like, all right, this next one comes up. He's like, what do you think about hippopotamus? Adam, you're in charge. Your job. Sounds great. This big elephant comes through. He's like, what about elephant? Like, yes, that sounds appropriate, you know? Then a dog comes by, a cute little puppy. He's like, dog, your name backwards. How about that, God? Yeah, I love dogs. I was like, oh, awesome. And then this cat comes forward, and God's like, what's that? I didn't make that. The devil is a liar. Adam already had a job. He already had relationship with God, and he received identity from God. So the third thing is this. Before I seek out intimacy, I need to seek out my identity. I need to know who I am in Christ before I go out looking for someone else. He didn't get a person until he got his name. He was given a name and identity before Eve came into the equation. See, men tend to jump into intimacy before they know who they are, before they've dealt with their father wounds, before they've dealt with their issues, before they've dealt with their problems, and then they project their void onto the person that God has brought into their life because they didn't fix their identity issues beforehand. And I know this is tough preaching, but I'm called to it, and I will see you all the way through it. And so men, you don't need a woman to be a successful man. As a matter of fact, the scorecard with your friend group in the locker room on how many or how much or how often or how quickly, none of that is actually being a real man. Your body count is not being a real man. Your DMs is not being a real man. He knew who he was before Eve entered into the picture. Do you want to know what makes a real man? A real man knows who they are. They are secure and successful before anyone else enters into the picture. I know who I am, and now God can bless me afterwards. Sleeping around doesn't make you a man. Finding your true identity is what makes you a man. Staying faithful to a vow is what makes you a man. Abandoning her the moment you feel discomfort or you get bored is not being a man. Help me, Jesus. Turn the statistics around in this country of fatherlessness and abandonment. It's not all the man's fault, but we're responsible for understanding what our identity is before we step into a relationship. Now, women, you don't need a man to be single, secure, and confident. You're not missing anything. Whew. You're not partially whole. You are not currently a fractional version of who God made you to be. You can be single, secure, and confident. and you can find your identity in Christ. Here's how I know. Are you so grateful for the word? Genesis 2:22 says this, Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And what does he do? He brought her to the man. Who did Eve meet first? I came to preach to someone today who feels not fulfilled. They feel an empty void in their flesh. You, my daughter, are complete. You, my daughter, are a child of God. You are a princess destined for greatness. You don't need a man in order to fulfill God's purposes, his plans, and his promises on your life. Eve met God before she met Adam. See, God saw you before you saw him. And I wish some people would find their number one identity, not in what your friends say you need, not in what that Facebook quiz says you need, not in what the tarot card says you need, not in what your mama says you need, not in what your daddy says you need. I wish you would find your identity in the one who meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory. You can be single and secure and confident because God did not design a divided or fractional version of you. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. The piano player can come back to get me off this stage. Lastly, before I pursue a relationship, hear me, busy people, I pursue rest. I just want to be a seated, present man of God who's not running to and fro, not chasing things. It says in verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping. Some of you got that spirit on you right now. I had to yell. He took one of the man's ribs, then closed it up and up the place with flesh. Adam found the one when he took a moment to sleep. Some of you are staying up too late, just real practically speaking. You're exhausted in your flesh because you're not rested in your spirit. You're exhausted in your schedule and you're not rested in the presence of God. You're not seated, and this is for married folk and engaged and dating and divorced, whatever your relationship status is. We lack this ability to not just sleep, but be put to rest by God. It says in Psalm 62:5, yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope doesn't come from how big the ring is or how many followers you get. My hope comes from him. And I mean, you don't need to travel every weekend. You don't need to say yes to every engagement party and every quinceañera. That's your third cousin. You don't need to be at that birthday party. You don't have an obligation to a third cousin. So far removed. You can rest. You don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to grind it out to the point of neglecting the spiritual health of your heart. Here's what I know is that until I'm satisfied in God, I will never find true satisfaction in anything else. I have to create margin in my life. I'm busier than I've ever been, but I'm more seated than I've ever been as well. It is okay to be influential for the kingdom of God as long as it's sitting on a foundation that is a rested, seated heart. So my house is not frantic. In my house, there's worship music playing because we're resting. My kids, if we're going to be running around, we lay out our clothes the night before. Because we're not going to get into an argument about what's clean and what's dirty the morning of. Saturday nights, sacred at my house. We've got some worship music playing. I've been ready for church for 12 hours. There's only one way to preach three times across three locations, 6 services in English, 1 happening in Spanish. There's only one way to grow this church like we're growing this church, and that's to be secure and seated. There's only one way where I can get on an airplane, go to Dallas, Texas, preach a revival service, and come back. It's to remain seated and secure. Some of you are doing too much because you're not seated in a relationship with the Father. You're trying to gain status in your relationship with others. Here's what I would say to you today. You can write this down. I don't need them. I need Him. Stop living under the pressure of people who will cut you off in a minute. Stop living under the societal construct of having to get married or having to have children or having to do this or having to do that. Whatever pressures you feel that are not of God, just find rest. Once I know who I am, anything is possible. Because He starts to soften my heart, and that's what we want today. So we want a heart before God. A contrite spirit is what Psalmist says in Psalm 51. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, You will not despise. What do I want today? I don't need anything. He's given me everything. So I got to be rested and seated in who I am before I even ask Him for anything else. At all of our locations, would you just bow your heads and open up your hands to heaven and just ask God to soften our hearts? Maybe you're a husband in here and your heart needs to be softened. You've been angry lately. You've been frantic lately. You've been anxious lately. You've gotten into an argument about finances or whatever it might be. I'm not here to name the specifics. We could all use a softer heart. Maybe you're a wife in here today and you've been not forgiving your husband for things that had happened a long time ago, and he's been repentant and he's making changes, and so may the Lord soften your heart. Maybe you're single today and you've been hard-hearted towards God because you feel like you're incomplete. You are not incomplete today. Soften our hearts, oh God. Soften our hearts, oh God. Purify our hearts, oh God. Would you just ask God right now, just say, God, clean my heart. Examine my heart. God, take the microscope and the magnifying glass and just look deep into my soul and help me, oh God. Get my identity from You. Give me a name, oh God. Give me a name so that I can walk out of here with authority. God, I thank You for our church is a church that believes in a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Thank You, Lord. Lord, You know how people have been hurt and wounded in this room and at all of our locations. I'm not here to deny the fact that abuse is real, violence is real, pain is real, and that kind of past will lead to a hardened heart unless You soften it. So I pray, oh God, that You would look at the places of our hearts that need to be broken in a good way and break it. And now, Lord, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone who's never given their heart to God, your heart doesn't even belong to God, so you wouldn't even know where to begin, we would encourage you and call you and invite you to something that the church calls salvation. It's recognizing God as your Lord and Savior because He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for you and I. We don't have to live far from God or with hardened hearts. We can now be surrounded by His love, His grace, and His mercy. So if you feel far from God today at all of our locations, we're going to prepare to respond, to receive the gift of salvation. At all of our locations, if you say, I want to acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and Savior, what I'm going to do in just a minute is I'm going to count to 3. And when I say 3, I just want you to acknowledge your need for salvation by shooting your hand up in the air in just a minute. Now, shooting your hand up in the air doesn't make you saved. It just memorializes this moment as the day you turned to God and surrendered your life to Him. Once you repent of your sins and confess your sins and repent of them, Jesus will cleanse you of all unrighteousness because of his grace and his mercy that is present in this building and at all of our locations. So today, at all of our locations, you say, I'm far from God. I want to receive Christ. I want to receive the gift of salvation today. Don't let the enemy try to convince you that today is not your day. You are not here by accident. You are here on purpose, for a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to surrender your life to Christ, to his lordship, and to his governance. If you are ready to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to count to three right now. One, get ready. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise. You are here for a reason today. You're ready to surrender your life to Jesus. You might have a tattered past, but that doesn't matter. With Christ, all things are new. The old is gone, and you become a new creation when you acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Savior. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up in the air right now at all of our locations. Shoot it up high so that I can see it, so that your campus pastor can see it. Shoot it up. Shoot it up. Just shoot it up. Praise God. I see it. I see it. Someone's bringing you a card, so keep that hand up until you receive a little card in your hand. This card is our way of simply connecting you with your next steps. So just grab that card. And on your way out today, we'd love to put a free Bible in your hand at our prayer tent, prayer banner. Our prayer team is ready to pray with you and to walk with you. I built 5 videos on the QR code on the back of that card. You can watch them. It's great for a person who's a new believer. What we're going to do now is we're all going to pray a prayer together that just memorializes this moment. So at all of our locations, at the sound of my voice, everyone that can hear me, let's pray this prayer. Say, Father God. Say it like you mean it. Say, Father God, I surrender my life to you. I repent of my sins and I turn from my ways. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's clap our hands for the presence of God today and for all of those who are joining the family of God.
Thanks again for joining us, and thank you to those who give generously to make the ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit givetofocus.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories and tag us at MyFocus Church. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.